Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Stand by, cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right. How about this? The foremost authority on soccer in the city of Houston. I took it a step further. The world. Glenn Davis joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 to talk about that win last night. Glenn, were you proud to be an American last night?
I'm proud to be an American every day, but I was very proud of that U.S. national team last night. Yeah, I think that was an incredibly prideful performance. It came with a lot of difficult conditions. I think we knew it was going to be a difficult game against Bosnia. The physical nature of it, the clutching, the grabbing, the rhythm breaking, stood up to it, did it with 10 men for 30 minutes. So an incredibly uplifting performance and just a very strong backbone and focus on getting the job done.
Glenn, can you talk about something that stands out to me? Two things that really stand out. Let me just address the most important one. The skill level for this U.S. men's national team. Now, admittedly, I don't watch in off years the U.S. men's national team as much as a lot of people who are listening probably right now. So my last really locked in, and I saw them at Gold Cup, but not all the best players were playing in that matchup against Mexico. But the skill, it is astonishing how much more skilled and confident on the ball the U.S. team is from 22, which had many of the same players, to now, and how quick they are with their tempo passing. Is that all Pochettino, or is that just the growth of young players? Because they look like a completely different team from a skill standpoint to me on the ball.
Well, that's growth. And remember, when we didn't qualify for the World Cup 4 years before 2022, this accelerated the development of these young guys. We saw this great group of young guys. Well, it accelerated that development and opportunity. So they got a World Cup under their belt. They're playing in very tough leagues around the world on big clubs. So this is, for me, the most technically proficient national team that we've ever had. So, you're playing a different style of soccer now. You're trying to be more aggressive. You're not just trying to survive in games. And I think it shows. And there's a lot of pride that's been going into this. But last night was a lot about fight and spirit, too. Yeah. And fight and spirit combined with good moments of technical play and being able to hold the ball with 10 men, along with getting an incredibly timely goal off a set piece from Tillman. You know, when Tillman hits that free kick, all of a sudden adrenaline shoots through your body and you know, as a team. And now you can continue to push through this challenge, right, of playing a man down. But being able to hold the ball when you're a man down and having technically skilled players, it's a big deal when you're at that disadvantage. And that's why you see teams like Spain and France that can control games because they have the ball.
Glenn Davis brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here on ESPN 97.5 every morning, 8 o'clock. You have to be here for that. Glenn, Henri and Zlatan, they gave so much credit to Poch. They said, you're a man down, and they looked just awesome the way that they handled it defensively. Yeah, there were some shots on goal, but it was all because Poch had them ready for every scenario. Can we say he's the winningest coach in USMNT World Cup history? Can we say enough about Pochettino and what he's done?
We can't say enough, but honestly, the judgment is going to be how far you go. And if you don't get past Belgium, I hate to say this, but this is going to quantify a lot what he's doing. But I think he's done an absolutely tremendous job as a fan on the outside and as people on the outside. I think we all see what he's doing, and it's prideful to see such an engaged coach. You know, the behavior of groups and the representation that groups as in teams that are unified for me is just incredibly powerful in sports. And I think that's kind of what we're witnessing right now. And I think, you know, not only the team, I think Pochettino is motivating the U.S. fan base to say, be prideful about your team. Just like, you know, I grew up in Argentina. Be prideful about your team and get behind them. And, you know, he's definitely built that side of it up because, you know, he was very disappointed in the beginning in some of the friendlies where their fans weren't turning out. So I think he's done a lot of amazing things, and he's got a tremendous spirit about him. And remember, he went through a lot of rocky times when he got the job. He took a lot of criticism from people, some of it fair, some of it unfair. That goes with the territory. He knows that. And to be honest, some of that unfair criticism even, I think, was healthy in a way that it pushed him and this team. And it came, a lot of it came from ex-players, too. And some of it was just, hey, you know, I'm trying to build my podcast, so I'm going to throw something at the wall. And some of it was actually intelligent and fair. But all of that, you know, you look at the journey now since he's been here and how he's turned this around as a team, and you say to yourself, you know, all these things, the ups and downs, helped to get this team and him where it is. And I would just say this. Balogun gets sent off. Did you see some of the reserves go over to him? You know, Tillman scores. The reserves are jumping on him. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a group that's together.
It does look like that.
And you know what? Just I want to just tag this. We've seen with U.S. soccer in recent times, all this other stuff going on. It's just so nice to see a team playing the game, competing, representing you, me, and others. That's what we want.
The very beginning, I missed like the first 15 seconds. There's no way you've talked about it, the Balogun red, and your thoughts on that moving forward.
Well, we all think things are standardized in soccer. It's incidental contact. It's a striker who's battling all game long with a forward. It's a terrible call, and it comes with a real cost to the U.S. because you now lose your most vertical striker. And that's a whole nother ball of wax you can get into and talk about why that's important and what that allows Belgium to do. But, yeah, that was kind of sad to me. You know, it's just a guy establishing position. You, me, and everybody have watched these games in these slow-mos where a guy completely misses the ball and stamps on a guy's foot, right? We've watched that the whole tournament in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened in every game.
Yep.
So when you see a guy who's battling and it's incidental and he's been getting kicked all game long and he's been fighting a center back all game long, it's harsh. It's too bad.
Yeah, and you're right. So what do they do, Pepe?
Yeah, that seems the natural choice without mixing too much up. Yeah, I think it's Ricardo Pepe's turn, and, you know, he's got to deliver.
Yeah, but what a loss. Balogun he is so good finding any way to get a goal. They nullified two goals for the U.S. right, and Balogun had, I believe, one of them, right, and they nullified that with the offside, and it was just barely offside, and yet he found a way to get that other goal. Just he's been fantastic. To lose him, are you worried about the Belgian? Obviously, you're worried about the Belgian game because it's, you know, it's a knockout game and whatnot. But without Balogun, is it how much more difficult is it?
Well, let me just say this: when you lose him, you lose your best natural finisher, right? Right, and the game's about scoring goals. If we want to simplify it, am I worried? No, I don't think so. I think these guys. I mean, look, we all know that the World Cup and a short tournament like this, there's ups and downs, there's challenges. We knew they would come in the form of this one for the U.S. It's come in having to play a man down, and it's now losing your best striker. You have to find ways. Maybe we don't have the deepest pool to dip into to find the solution, but Ricardo Pepi's turn is here. He has scored big goals for the U.S. in the past. He's a different striker. There might be some tweaks in maybe the way you play a little bit. Maybe Pulisic is drifting central a little more in this game as a second striker. Who knows? But they can get it done. I watched Belgium. Belgium's beatable. I know everybody's going back to the friendly and measuring the friendly. Belgium's an excellent team with excellent players and a lot of experience, but it's definitely a beatable team.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is one of their lesser teams. I think probably that I've seen since I've started watching, and it's not good.
I mean, the way they won that game against Senegal was unbelievable. They were sleepwalking through that game,
and they've been sleepwalking through most of these games, and that's the thing. I mean, they're just not. De Bruyne is not the same. Lukaku's not the same. Some of their top players are just not. But. You know, scoring. I'm really worried because you're gonna have to find goals against them, and that's gonna be tougher.
Yeah, but look, you had to find goals against a tough team last night. You found them, so it can happen.
For sure. Can you talk about the fitness level of the U.S.? It's staggering to see how fit they are, and the closeouts. And another thing, and you can speak to this, I don't know if I'm accurate on this, but it feels like this is the most aggressive they've ever been at running the ball out top to make sure that no one's comfortable. Like, they didn't want Bosnia-Herzegovina to be comfortable on the ball at all at any point. And even a man down, they weren't just parking a bus deep. They were out challenging, forcing the ball out way out away from the goal. And to do that, man, you have to be in amazing shape to run that much.
I think they knew that the only way Bosnia is going to score goals if you're going to allow them into your penalty area, and that means if you're going to just drop off and sit on your 18. I knew they didn't want to do that. They know they have the physical ability to meet them higher up the field, even a man down. And then I think the other thing, back to your point about, you know, the technical ability of the players to be able to hold the ball for time periods and take a little bit of rest and not to be under constant duress, a man down and defending your box is a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, these guys ran like warriors. I mean, if we look at the World Cup overall, we have to say these are amongst the fittest athletes in the world. I mean, let's just make that very clear. These are some of the fittest athletes in the world. I thought their work ethic, everybody, Tillman, Adams, McKinney, Dest, Robinson, Freeman, all these guys. I mean, they're fighting for every ball. I didn't see a drop, you know, with 10 men in energy and effort, and that was impressive.
Glenn Davis with us here on ESPN 97.5. What about Harry Kane at the end of that game, down a goal, and Harry Kane came through with two just beautiful, first a header, and then a shot that was just incredible, the game winner, by himself. England was sleepwalking as well, and they come away with a win.
Well, soccer matches are 90 minutes, and things can change incredibly quick. We saw that yesterday, obviously, with Senegal, who seemed in complete control and in the blink of an eye are out of the tournament. So, look, Harry Kane's one of my favorite players because the history of how he got to where he did, the work he put into being a pro. I think if there's ever an athlete that you want to model and you're a youth soccer player, you could look at some of these guys on the U.S. team and a lot of other teams. You could also look at Harry Kane. I mean, humility, leader, produce the goods when they needed it. If England supports him, they'll have a better chance in Mexico. That's going to be a very difficult game. It's going to be an exciting game as well. But, you know, his ability to get things done in the moment and just lead as a calm, mature pro, something special to watch.
It's funny. So we were, me and Solis were watching at an English pub. We wanted to watch it with the English fans, my buddy. And we kind of made the comment that, you know, he's so unassuming as a soccer player. It looks like he's somebody who could be battling Victor Hovland in the final round of, you know, of the Milwaukee Open somewhere as a professional golfer. He's got that kind of build and look to him. Mm-hmm. He just looks unassuming. But there's nothing fancy about his game, but boy, is he accurate and is he prolific as a scorer?
Yeah, and he's a striker that's also a playmaker. I mean, he's capable to come back into midfield, get a ball and turn and kill you with the pass as well. So he's got a lot of pieces to his game. If England supports him properly, that's the real key. The rest of the players have to support him in a way. But he's your go-to guy, like Balogun's our go-to guy. Very, very different players. The other thing about Harry Kane is he's not really in the Instagram or the Twitter game. Right. You know, he doesn't want anything to do with that stuff. He's 100% football. That's what his focus is. He's not trying to be a rapper or something else. You know, he's 100% football.
We got Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. We got Spain playing today. Croatia is playing Portugal today. I'm looking ahead a little bit. I don't want to look too far ahead, but U.S. beats Belgium. Then we probably got Spain beat them. Then we beat France. And then Pochettino against Argentina in the final. It'll be – I'm not looking too far ahead.
Not to look ahead, but
– I'm not looking too far ahead.
No looking ahead. Let's focus on Belgium right now.
Well, okay.
But
you can.
Fun.
You can, but I'm thinking about Poch against Argentina.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking about right now in the final.
You can't take anything he says seriously, Glenn.
I think I'm going to start calling him Posh.
That's me. That's me. I'll tell you what, though. Tom Rinaldi did a piece on Pochettino. And he went to Argentina to the farm where he grew up and his mom.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that? His mom was when he was named the coach. His mom was crying of the U.S. team. She said that was her proudest moment was that when he was named the coach of the U.S. team. And he's coached all of these great players throughout his career, right? How awesome was and the dad was crying. I mean, just awesome where he's come from and what he's doing.
Yeah, that was a spectacular piece. It really was. I mean, that made me emotional looking at his parents and the pride that they have in their son and that he was going to the United States. And, you know, we sometimes forget the United States, you know, in a lot of ways is looked upon around the world as the land of milk and honey, you know. I mean, it's a place that does have a level of fascination to everybody, you know, and I think it's really interesting to see people here from all over the world now during the World Cup just enjoying themselves and having a great time and mixing.
What do you see in these games today? Spain and Austria, Portugal, Croatia, Switzerland, and Algeria.
Spain, Austria, that Spain, I think, has to win that fairly comfortably. The second one was Croatia and
Portugal.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That's Luka Modric against Cristiano Ronaldo. You got two of the legends of the game in that one. Croatia's going to try to keep that kind of break the rhythm of Portugal. That's an interesting one. I think that's the game today for everybody to watch because Croatia's been deep in World Cups before. Portugal's, you know, let's see if the real Portugal steps up here.
And then Egypt. Who's the other one, John? There's one more.
Switzerland and Algeria.
Oh, yeah, Switzerland and Algeria, yeah.
I think the Swiss get through there, but we'll see.
Yeah, Switzerland's been nice. It'll be interesting to see even the guys. I mean, it's not a secret that, you know, these big games, Ronaldo has not been great. He, like you said, he scored a couple of goals against a lesser team. And now let's see if he can, against Croatia, if he can step up and be that guy in a knockout game against a good team.
I still think it's a question mark. You know, by scoring goals against Uzbekistan here in Houston, that made him the only guy to score in 6 World Cups. And by the way, that milestone occurs in our stadium here in Houston, right? But I think the other thing you have to consider now, and I don't think we have the answer to it yet, is, you know, is he hindering Portugal in a way? And it may be a day where you do get that answer.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if we get that answer today. That'll be a good game. And then we get to 4th of July. You're doing that game 4th of July, right?
4th of July, yeah. We got the Atlas Lions of Morocco here. Excellent team. Taking on Canada. I think Morocco's going to be the heavy favorites in that game. But that team's just absolutely stacked with players. And most of their roster was born in, you know, France, Belgium, Netherlands. They grew up in Dutch youth systems, and I think it's like only three guys were born in Morocco, but boy, do they have a good team. Saibari's a guy you keep an eye on, who's number 11 up front, but I think they have the prototype right back in the world, and that's Hakimi. And this guy must have three lungs. he's a right back that you're going to look up during the game, and you'll see him having just won a ball near his own 18, and then in the blink of an eye, he's at the other end of the field in the box attacking across. I mean, he's an absolute animal, and I think that the Dutch got so concerned about him that he played a large part in them changing their tactics.
I think Saibari's really good, too.
Saibari's great. Fun player to watch. A guy that's... Another Dutch guy, but I think he's on his way somewhere else, maybe to, I don't know if it's Bayern. I think he's going to Bayern Munich, but he's been on PSV Eindhoven. So they've got great players. They're a different team, too, by the way, than the one that got to the semis in 2022 in Qatar, because now they have more of the new coach brought in a little bit more of a possession-based game as well. They were more a direct, vertical, defend deep, breakout team. They can hold the ball now, without a doubt. So it's been interesting to see what they've added to their game.
That's Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, every morning, 8 o'clock, right here on ESPN 97.5. We are off tomorrow, so no show tomorrow. And then Monday we will pick it back up. We'll have all of the results from the weekend and preview the American game against Belgium that night, that Monday night. So a big time, big weekend. Glenn, we appreciate you. Have a great time calling that Morocco-Canada game. And great stuff here, as always. We appreciate you. Go USA.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me in. A lot of fun every morning knowing I'm going to be talking with you guys and even Dell.
That's right. Dell brings a lot to the table when he's not, you know, hating on Mexico.
Yeah.
Obviously.
In fairness to Phil, that, that was kind of a shot for you, Dell.
I love
even
it.
Even Dell, he said.
Dell is our resident
no,
soccer,
because
soccer
Dell
expert.
Dell didn't say anything today.
I know. He never says anything.
I said something last time.
I know.
Yesterday,
you can jump in, Dell. You can jump in. You're a big U.S. men's national team fan.
You're a big boy.
Every single year, you can jump in.
Sorry, I got to say. Go ahead,
Dell. You and me were talking the other day that we're U.S. fans.
We're giant U.S. fans
because the Super Eagles are not in.
We got to bring. Thanks, Glenn, for saying that again. We got to bring John in because he still thinks the Italians are a real soccer playing country. But he'll learn. He'll learn.
They're going to be back because Paolo Maldini's taking a job with the Federation. They're going to be back. Italy's going to be back.
Bosnia is the team that eliminated Italy, right?
That's right. And Italy,
and we kicked their ass.
And Italy had the advantage because Bosnia got a red card, and Italy, or was it the other way around?
It's the other way around.
Yeah, Italy got the red card, couldn't hold on, and the U.S. did.
Cheating refs. Okay. Cheating refs, that's why.
All right.
We would have beat Italy yesterday, and that would have been awesome. Oh, well.
For those meddling kids.
Well, that's it. All right, we're done. Glenn, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging. As always, we'll talk to you again on Monday. That is Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Taking a break. Come on back. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Lance here. When it comes to sinus issues, I've dealt with it all.
You You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Man, oh man, oh man. I thought we'd miss something here. I'm looking through Yahoo Sports, and they said, here's the headline. You tell me. C.J. Stroud gets massive vote of confidence after Texans playoff disappointment. I'm like, did Hannah give him an extension? Is D'Amico naming him AFC quarterback of the – what?
What was it? That's what you're asking
yourself? In ESPN's annual list of bold predictions for 2026 season, analyst Ben Solak made one of the biggest projections of them all. The Texans will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Ben Solak gave him a vote of confidence. That's your guy.
Wow.
If Ben Solak is putting the Texans.
The VOC?
I mean, you think CJ now is like, hey, I got this. You know what? I'm gonna focus more this offseason.
I would think.
No, he's already focused.
Well, he actually is.
Maybe even more now because Ben Solak.
Wait, said I thought that. He was so locked in.
A massive vote of confidence.
He didn't need to be. He didn't need a vote of confidence. He's locked in.
He doesn't need that.
Now, I did have one of my sons showing me a party where he was like, "Who cares?"
He's out and about.
The little squabble.
He was out at a party.
He's like, "You sure this guy's going to win for your team?" And I was like, "He's going to win."
I thought he wasn't going to parties.
He was at something where they were dancing, and he was.
Did he have his iPad there watching film too?
No, he was that. I don't know. I didn't see the clip.
See that. Did you see his BMW commercial?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah. It's D car or something. D-E-E. I don't know what it is. I never heard of him before. But he's in a. And listen, I thought to myself, now this is a hell of a lot more believable than Tiger and a Buick. Okay? Tiger ain't driving no Buicks.
Buick's
but
pretty
CJ
nice.
CJ was in a really nice Beamer. Now, Beamers can be beautiful. I could see CJ in that.
He has a partnership with BMW Houston Midtown. He's been with them for a little bit now. They help his charity out as well.
Brian Burney got him a deal, his marketing rep. That's all it is.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But you know what? I could see him in that car.
So he's shooting.
Actually something that you can believe.
I bet Tiger made more money from Buick.
Tiger Woods, yeah.
Yeah, but he ain't driving no Buick.
I bet he did.
So,
but he had a free one.
So
Tiger likes free one.
You know Tiger likes free.
Did you see his accidents? It wasn't a Buick.
You know Tiger likes free.
Well, we see Tiger in an accident all the time.
Well, he hasn't been with Buick for a long time.
What?
I don't think he was ever.
Was he ever driving a Buick? He's had several accidents. Yes, was he ever in a Buick?
Yeah, never. He wrecked an Enclave.
You don't believe that.
I saw it.
This isn't a shot at Buick. It's just unbelievable.
Buick.
I put this on air. The Buick Enclave I drive is phenomenal. I'm not even speaking for a car dealer right now.
I see you working in there. We're not taking a shot at Buick. It's just that we don't
I'm not even speaking for a car dealer. It's a great vehicle. Now, you're just assuming that all rich people drive super rich cars.
I've just never seen Tiger in the car except for commercials.
Right.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah. CJ in a BMW is a lot more believable.
Anybody else?
Is he allowed to shoot commercials in the offseason when he's so locked in?
No, not when he's focused.
This is an old commercial.
No, but he had his laptop.
No, this is a new commercial.
No, braids.
It's a new commercial.
Shoot commercials.
Go to parties, dance, shoot commercials?
No, but he was walking around the dealership with his laptop looking at watching film.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
Y'all need to stop messing with our quarterback. Honestly, you too, John. You really got to stop.
Ben Solak.
No, you're yelling all this stuff and then you're clowning.
Massive vote of confidence.
Stop clowning our quarterback. This is getting ridiculous.
So we get ADs.
Either you're with the Texans or you're against them. Pick Hollywood.
Hollywood. Wow. We get GMs who give players vote of confidence.
And Ben Solak.
ADs who give coaches votes of confidence. And Ben Solak is giving.
Ben Solak.
That's a vote of confidence.
Massive vote of confidence.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know who
That's
else right. he gave votes of confidence to?
Who?
Multiple times? Justin Fields.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, he was the biggest every time Justin was traded, like, I can't, but what is it going to take to get Justin Fields? Probably a first, maybe a second. No, it was like a fifth.
Just get him into a good spot.
Like, it was always Justin was the greatest. Everyone was terrible. nothing was ever Justin's fault. Now it's just like you just have to cut. You got to cut bait. Yeah, Justin Fields can't play. That's just
David still there? Let's get David in here. Talk a little USA. What's up, David?
Without Balogun.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Just wanted to basically agree with everything Glenn said. Was super impressed with kind of the level of pressing that the U.S. showed, especially when they went a man down, which honestly I think was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen, at least live, for that red card. And overall, I think just globally really changing the perception of like what we're capable of as a soccer team. And I think Belgium, I saw we opened up as small favorites. I think that if Belgium come out the way they have this whole World Cup, that it might be over by the first hydration break, to be honest.
I hope so. I hope so. You're going to have to find, you know, one thing I'll say about the U.S., they've got so many, they're good with the through passes. They get direct. I mean, this is a very direct team in terms of vertically to the goal, and they get some good opportunities and good looks. You notice just how quick the ball gets off the foot. Everything's top, top, pop, pop, pop. Just there's no slow. Yeah, but there's no slow build from the back. I mean, they're attacking. Is that unusual, Dell, to see someone attack the heart of the defense as frequently as the U.S. does?
Well,
at least this team?
It's their system, and some of it has to do with how they press, so they're going to be in advantageous situations.
And they're a good pressing team.
Yeah, it's what they do. It's if you talk about, if you want to give them an identity, they're a high-tempo press team, and at least the turnovers and at least the opportunities. And the Balogun goal, that was disallowed. That was because they pressed. They forced a turnover from a team who's not comfortable playing out of the back. Unfortunately, he was like a half a stride offside. It's unique for me to watch the U.S. do this, but when you look at some of the more incisive front foot attacking squads, it's a lot of that. It's what you've talked about or criticized Spain for in the past, all their side-to-side stuff where they don't actually go towards goal or get shots off. Uh-huh. Look at France. France is just in a different stratosphere, but what do? They have ridiculous passers, guys who see the game away, and it's a through ball to Mbappe, or you put him in a spot where he can cut in on his right and strike the ball or his left. He can do both, I guess. But for U.S. soccer, I've never seen this ever. Their willingness and ability to find spaces, and that's why Balogun's so important. He can stretch a defense. He's willing to run the channels and get in spots where they can deliver him the ball or just take attention away. So obviously he's not going to be there on the sixth. The question will be, can they find an answer for him not being there? Some people were suggesting putting Pulisic as a false nine, which is he's not really a striker, but he'll do those things up top to try to run into those channels. It'll be interesting because Pepe, he was good yesterday relieving pressure, but I'm not sure you want him as your leading the line for 70 minutes. I would like to see Haji Wright get an opportunity, who played in the championship with Coventry, I think. That might be an option, a little bit more pace, I think. But, yeah, this is the best U.S. soccer team as far as when it comes to offensive tack I've ever seen in all my years watching. Particularly in the top level competitions, a World Cup, yeah, whatever you do to Trinidad and Tobago or Costa Rica, fine. But when it's the World Cup, never seen anything like it.
It's how about the Balogun goal? So it's near the end of the half, and Bosnia is just, they can't do anything. They're just, you know, trying to in any way, shape, or form. And they're holding the ball. They held the ball for a couple of minutes, just going back and forth. And they finally get it back to the goalie. And the goalie says, you know what? I'm going to try to force the issue here. He kicks one to about midfield. Header, redirect, a mess up by their guy. Balogun scores. When they were just trying to hold the ball.
They're trying to get the halftime.
And the goalie tries to make something happen against that team. It wasn't happening.
Well, the thing is, they would love to have tried to play out of the back. Because you just send a long ball forward and it doesn't connect, then you're just turning the ball right back to the team who had most of the possession in the first half.
Right.
But there was no room to play out of the back. So his only option was to send a long ball and hope for the best. Unfortunately for him in Bosnia, it went to Tim Ream, who had a header And headers can be, you know, you never know sometimes. But this one went right to a U.S. player, a clever, I think it was Tyler Adams maybe, who got it to Malik Tillman.
Tyler Adams got jacked up yesterday.
Yeah, Bosnia set ran a pick play pretty much and didn't get called for a foul. But it was that quick. You went from, oh, we're going to go into half not scoring a goal, which is something we hadn't done all World Cup. And then that quick, it's 1-0. And that changed the game. And then, of course, the red card did as well. So this is a team who picks their opportunities. And for the most part, they've taken chances pretty well. That's 10 goals in 4 World Cup matches. That's not something we do. First of all, we never get to the fifth match.
Struggle to find.
But we don't score goals in World Cups.
But that's why Balogun's such a huge loss.
And, you know, they scored goals without him. He's important. He's a playmaker. And Pulisic will have to take on more responsibility. But even in the game he didn't play in, they scored 2. And they had a chance for more.
And Bosnia was never even – I mean, they didn't even build anything up. They were not even threatening.
No, they're a team who wants to make things ugly and beat you up.
Hit a corner, hit a header. That's what they're hoping to
do. And, yeah, and get their set pieces. And, you know, they had the early corner where I don't know if he tried to do it on purpose, but the Bosnian player nearly – what they call Olympico is where you score directly from a corner with yourself, the guy who takes a corner.
Yeah.
He had the Matt Freeze little off balance. He picked up on what was going on and got it out of there. But other than that, they were not dangerous at all.
Nope. You know, after – obviously, there were some tense moments after Balogun left, but it was just fantastic. What a great night. 713-780-3776. The number, if you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. I got to talk a little Champion Energy right now. If you're looking for a great way to get your electricity, I had them forever, and I loved what they did for me in the city of Houston. Why not take advantage of what they can do for you? I never needed to call them, hey, this isn't working. It always worked. The only time I ever called them was when I moved and I wanted to change the service to the new address. That's it. So they're great. Your contracts will be a year or two, and when that contract is up, they'll tell you they got a better rate for you, so hurry up and sign up. Get it for 2 years. That's what I always did. Get me that rate for 2 years, and let's go. Champion.energy/1560. Looking for the best way to get that electricity to your home or your business. Champion.energy/1560.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All righty then. 713-780-3776. You want to get in here, 713-780-3776. What do you want to talk about? Something different. Let's talk a little Aggie football. Brett wants to get in here. What do you say, Brett?
Let's go.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up you. I called in the other day and you thought I was sunny. I don't know what that was about. But also, I was just trying to teach y'all the farmers fight.
Yeah, I thought it was legit. He was saying it legit. That wasn't and Dale, you even said you haven't read directly from it. That is the way farmers fight. And can you tell these guys that that is a real chant the Aggies?
We know
did?
It is. I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a senior there, and so like that's in the student section in the whole stadium. Everyone's doing the chants.
Okay, so there's a rule. One of my best friends, Clint Culpepper, went there, and he was telling me years and years ago. He told me, you're not allowed to, and John, don't say anything. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that until what? You're a sophomore, right? Is that what it is? Or a senior? When are you allowed to say whoop?
Oh, when you're a senior.
Okay. And John, you never spent 1 cent at Texas
A&M.
You're not allowed to do it.
Whoop!
You're not allowed to do it.
You're not allowed to do it. This is blasphemy.
Yeah, I just did it. Okay. Just did it. Yeah, so you are allowed. Apparently you are allowed because I just did it.
Well, that's not true because people commit crimes they're not allowed to do either. So you're committing a crime is what you're doing.
Is it? It's a crime? I'm going to get arrested by the Aggie police?
I mean, those dudes do walk around in boots and hats. They have hats and boots, right? Some of them do.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get arrested.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question, though, before I go. What do you think the Aggies' record is going to be next year? What do y'all think?
I got to look at the football schedule right now. They still got some talent on the team. Let's see. Open up with Missouri State, dub. Arizona State comes to town, dub. Kentucky, that's a win. At LSU is going to be tricky. I'm going to make that a loss. Arkansas, it's always a tough game. I mean, they always play.
They better
poorly.
Win that one.
I know, but Arkansas's it's always like a fourth quarter win.
Doesn't Arkansas have a new coach?
Yes. I think they did last year, too.
Ryan
Silverman. Silverfeld,
they just hired him, right?
Yeah, from Memphis.
Memphis, who they lost to last year.
I'm still going to give the Aggies a win there. So I got them at, 4-1 there. They go to Missouri. I'm going to call that a loss. But I don't know.
Who's Missouri's quarterback?
They got that freshman quarterback. And the guy who got hurt last year.
Perbula went to Virginia, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure on that one then. You got Citadel at home as a win. You go to Alabama. That'll be tough. Tennessee comes to A&M. You go to South Carolina. They do have their quarterback.
That should be a 10-win team. There's no big out-of-conference game they have to play this year, right?
Oklahoma, no. At Oklahoma and in Texas. I would say 9 to 10 wins. 9 to 10 wins. Toughest games are going to be at LSU. Maybe Missouri, maybe A&M will be a favorite. We'll see if they can do that. They should beat Arkansas. At Alabama, at LSU, at Oklahoma.
Very well could
be. And then out South Carolina. You do have Tennessee and Texas at home. Yeah.
Very well could be coming down the wire that you have to beat Texas to make the playoff. And we know how that goes for the Aggies when they have to play Texas, when it means something.
Oh, my. I got faith in them Aggies.
I'm just pointing at the last couple years.
Yeah, Reagan, I got your team. I got you guys in the playoffs.
I think that team has all the capabilities of winning 10 games.
Wait, so we heard from an Aggie who said if someone were to give John senior privileges, he would be allowed to whoop. But I haven't heard one
has
Aggie.
Has anyone given you, like, I haven't heard Todd anyone give you senior privileges?
No, we need it in writing. We need it in writing.
What does senior privileges mean?
I don't know. You're not an Aggie, so you don't even know.
I guess.
No, they're allowing you to say
whoop.
It's
like member guests.
It's like member guest.
You don't be invited.
You don't belong there. Yes.
Yeah.
You don't belong there.
I don't belong there, but I get invited.
So if somebody gives you senior privileges, then you're allowed to say whoop. At this point, I haven't seen that document.
It's no surprise that a golf term clarified things for John. Oh, okay, I get it.
Explain this to me in golf terms.
Member guest.
Yeah.
Oh, now I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I got to be invited to say whoop.
Right.
Well, you're
Todd gave me
that.
Senior privileges.
You don't have any proof that happened.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No.
Thanks for the call, Brett.
Yeah, Brett.
Your Aggies should be good this year. 10-2 good.
Wow, 10-2.
They should win 10 games.
You think? I mean, they're going to LSU, they're going to Texas, they're going to Oklahoma. Those are three.
They're A&M.
And they're going
to
South Carolina.
South Carolina and what?
Put them thangs on them last year.
I thought that was two
well,
years
actually,
ago.
They lost. Actually, now that I think about it, they lost in the second half to A&M.
Yeah, they were.
No, it was last year. Remember when the police officer had to.
The year before, they got their ass kicked by South Carolina.
Wait a minute. But last year was the one where Nick Harbor, where it looked like everything was falling apart.
Last year was the year where they were down big.
But remember
came
the
back.
State trooper ran up there and threatened to arrest the wide receiver for scoring?
And they had a big
whatever
second
dumb
half.
Thing he did.
They had a big second half.
Yeah.
And they controlled the second half. But yes, they were
huge,
they were down
second
big.
Half. That's right. The Aggies came back at that massive comeback in the second
That's
half.
That's what we do.
Have you been
we're
invited?
We're the station for the Aggies.
Now, okay.
I got to say, what's the quarterback's name? I'm forgetting.
Marcel Reed.
Nobody is a bigger Marcel Reed guy than Granato was trying to give him the Heisman last year. So maybe he is pro Aggie.
Well, you're damn right I am.
Did you want to give him the Heisman at the end of the year?
Like I did Joe Burrow, and you two poo-pooed
I'm
it?
I'm asking. Did you want to give him the Heisman?
I ain't doing that for Marcel.
Did you want to give him the Heisman at the end of the year?
I ain't giving it to him.
All right, then.
Okay. No, Marcel, no. But going to have a big year, playoff
They should
year.
Make the playoff.
They made the playoff last year, kicked everybody's ass. They did put up a three.
They even put up a three spot.
They did score a field goal. You're right. They were able to score 3 points.
It was windy.
Wow, was Marcel bad that one, too?
It was windy.
He didn't exactly end the season.
He was bad against Texas.
Texas and Miami back-to-back, and really the first half of South Carolina, he was an atrocity. I mean, his last five of his last six quarters were awful. But,
well, he got the beat up on Sanford in between.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
But Messi did get his jersey.
Yeah, that was nice of him.
Do you think Messi's kids are wiping off their soccer balls with that jersey or using it to wash?
To be fair, Messi would have done that with Arch Manning's jersey,
too. I know.
Too.
I'm not
you
knocking,
couldn't pick a
I'm not knocking Marcel Reed. I'm just pointing player. Out that Messi's whole life is taking pictures with people he's told
doesn't
are important.
Know.
He's told are important, but he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's a, okay, I guess I'm taking a picture with this guy.
He needs one of those guys like Veep, like Gary is for Selena Meyer.
He might have a guy.
Where he whispers, this is the diplomat for France. You know, somebody who, this is a quarterback for Texas A&M.
Look, Messi.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't
quarterback,
know.
Texas what A&M. Quarterback? What's an Aggie?
Explain to Messi halfback, it's not a midfielder.
Explain to Messi what an Aggie is. Whose job is that?
Yeah, that right off the bat. Like he's not going to know what an Aggie is.
Look, Messi.
He works on the grass.
Great player.
Oh, but he fixes our field?
But I dare you to think of him as
actually, yeah, he can grow your field.
Yeah, he's agriculture. I don't know if you've heard. Messi, great player, but if you hear him speak, there's not a lot there.
No. No, he's not like, a big personality. Like he's not Charles Barkley, that's
people
for
talk
sure.
about aura or whatever. Messi's aura, if you only had to listen to him talk, it'd be like, oof. Hmm. This guy's the greatest in the world. I think he knows his strengths. That's why he doesn't say much. Right. Sometimes you just need to be mysterious because there's not a lot going on. I think that's messy.
Let's catch up as we hit the top of the hour here. We got 1 hour left for our week because we're off tomorrow because of the 4th of July. So should we do what did you learn this week? I think
sure.
we should. Somewhere around 9:15. What did you learn this week on the show? You must have learned something. I don't know if it's good or bad or indifferent, whatevs. But you can give us a call, or you can give us a call for the next segment, whatever you want to talk about, 713-780-3776. Right now, I am talking about a Pro Dunk goal. And, you know, I keep saying how great the Pro Dunk goal is. All of the everything about it, from the tempered glass backboard, the breakaway rim, which is a silly name since it doesn't break. You can hang on it forever. I think breakaway rim is kind of that's silly, but it's what it is called. The unrustable stanchion, the installation. They'll stencil your driveway. They'll put on the stanchion your kid's name. There's nothing that they haven't thought of with this goal because you now, as opposed to a crank to raise and lower the goal down to 5 feet, you just push a button. Zzz, and it lowers for the kids, and the kids love that. You're looking for the best way to get that goal outside where your kids will actually use it, where your kids will play, especially little ones. Dad, if you got little ones and they just sit around the house and now they're just into these video games all the time, get outside. Play basketball. I want you to shoot till you can't shoot anymore so I can get money for college. Because that's happening out there. If you are looking for the best way for your kids to actually enjoy basketball, the Pro Dunk goal is the best way to go. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com. Make sure you tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.